Today's episode, what a fun one. We've got a lot of conversation about Barcelona and Dani Olmo. How are you not registering a player? That's crazy.
And we'll talk some MLS. There have been a couple transfers. And we'll get to a little rapid reactions and talk about some
transfers.
Some of our transfer little wish list.
Ooh.
All this and more today on the Cooligans in 2025.
I don't know if this happens to you. There's moments where I feel a lot of pressure to perform, and I'm not talking about what you guys think I'm talking about.
Oh boy,
because your boy feels no pressure.
Sponsored by Blue Chew.
Because guess what? I'm gonna get mine.
Hey fellas,
you do whatever you want when I fall asleep. I'm kidding. What I'm talking about is like, I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's IT shit, but for me, I recently had a friend in town who was like, hey, why don't the four of us get together, go grab a bite? Him, his lady, me, and my lady. And then he was like, hey, man, you pick the place. And I'm like, all right, there's 20,000 restaurants in this city. I'm trying to pick a place that's the perfect vibe. You know what I mean? What kind of food you like? What kind of food is your lady like? Here's what he said. This was January 1st, so 2 days ago, right? Or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah. I remember what day it was, right? Guys, it's Monday, right? He goes, let's do brunch. How you gonna do brunch on a Wednesday? You know what I mean?
Is brunch not allowed on Wednesdays?
I don't think they do brunch. You know how hard it was to find a restaurant within walking distance of my apartment that does brunch on a Wednesday?
When
I got there, he was like, oh, this is a cool restaurant. Yeah, we just ate breakfast. Nah, you're not allowed. You said fine brunch. You better eat these pancakes, bro. I don't care if it's the second round of pancakes you eat.
I mean, I think it opens up a bigger conversation of like, what is brunch really, right? This is like a title.
It's lunch with eggs is all it is. That's what brunch is.
This is a Seinfeld storyline,
yeah.
Right?
I created something when I was in high school called Dunch, which is mixing dinner and lunch.
But reverse?
Nah, it's better than Linner. So Dunch sounds better.
Dunch?
Yeah.
All right.
Which is just dinner meals in a sandwich.
Dinner meal? Okay.
Because some people don't consider sandwich dinner. They say lunch sandwiches are just breakfast and lunch.
Damn. So is it what you put like rice and beans between the bread?
Fact. Yeah. You ever have a burrito? They put rice and beans in that joint.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah. You think I won't put a chuleta, rice, beans, and a couple plantains in a sandwich?
Damn, bro. 2025 is going to look a little different.
Bro. Seriously. My cardiologist is like, we need to bring him back in. The guy's talking dunch.
He's how many dunches in one night?
Damn. Second dunch?
You can't do second dunch.
Here's the thing, though. Dunch has to replace both lunch and dinner. It can't. You can't do breakfast, lunch, dinner, dunch.
Now,
you can't do breakfast, lunch, dunch, dinner. It's crazy.
Unless you're a goddamn pussy.
You gotta be. When did you become that guy? How much cough medicine are you on?
Happy New Year, everybody.
I want their stamp of approval on
welcome,
that conversation.
Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And yeah, you know, we've all had...
Do you know what this year is?
Project 2025.
Yeah, dude.
I don't
know.
I'm worried about certain things.
Bro,
but what
if you pee and it took anything off the walls, you're getting arrested for murder.
I am...
No, it's the 10-year anniversary of our show!
It is. I mean, it's a few months before we hit that anniversary.
The year.
But yeah, just like you people have a birthday month, you know, we're doing the Cooligans birthday year.
Yeah, it's the anniversary year.
The anniversary
year. But we got some cool stuff planned for August.
August is when we started the show. Is
it? Alexis, you tell me.
Alexis has just confirmed.
Since you know everything.
Hey, when's your wife's birthday? But no,
we'll get back to you on that one.
Everybody, I hope you enjoyed your holiday break. We were off for a little bit. We had a little Boxing Day special.
Yeah, I heard you spent a lot of time with your family over the break.
I did. I was
because
forced.
All three of y'all was sicky.
We all had the flu. There's been a flu going around. And,
yet you showed up to work here as if our health doesn't matter.
Just kidding. I'm
mostly you know what? Fine.
I gotta be honest. When you went up to Carter and licked his nose, I thought that was wild disrespectful. I said, bro, what are you doing, dude?
We've developed our friendship yeah. where that's where
your bond is really strong, dude.
That is how we say hello to each other.
What, a couple penguins?
Can penguins lick? I don't know.
I've never seen that. If you pay them enough.
Anyway.
I think that was a guy in a costume, actually.
I'm recovering. I sound a little bit, you know, a little out of it, but
you kind of got a little jazzy vibe. Bro.
Exactly. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah,
this is,
bro.
This year's going to look a little different.
Bro, we're going to riz up the listeners, bro. Okay.
Apologies.
The risen-ers.
Everybody's getting apologies for everybody getting super horny listening to the soccer podcast.
What about those of you sitting next to you, bro?
Hey, but you know what? It's like I always.
Now I want to lick Carter's nose, dude.
Yeah, I always go back to that old Ted Alexandro joke where it's like, I can't control who's looking. I just got to bring the heat. So that's what I'm doing here. So excited to be back for 2025. Shout out to producer Carter. We also have a special guest who is here.
Miguelito in the building, bro.
Old producer Miguelito is in town visiting family.
And we're family.
And so
he had to stop by.
Exactly. So hello,
Miguelito. A lot of tension between him and Carter. Exactly. I don't hit the button that way. He's like, that's not how I hit the button. And Carter's like, well, you don't hit the button no more, do you?
Okay. So look.
Miami wearing a V-neck up in this building.
All I'm saying, it's been entertaining for us to watch.
Dude,
all
right. Like, guys, relax. We'll look both of you on the road.
It's like our own little reality show. Yeah. And then watch them interact. But no.
Everyone's allowed in Blangola, bro. There's no need.
So today, we got to start today's show with some news out of La Liga and Barcelona, because Dani Olmo, the midfielder who just won the Euros with Spain, he was a big part of that, and came from RB Leipzig back to Barcelona.
Might be having the most electric transfer, right? I can't think of another transfer that just worked out so seamlessly.
Seamlessly. And a fun player to watch as well. A man is stylish.
Remember, he was playing for the Spanish national team, but not playing for one of the big La Liga clubs, which is odd, right? You want to see them, at least in La Liga, you don't think of Spanish players as playing maybe in Premier League, right? But you don't really think of them as playing in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, well, it's similar to when we see like a English player playing
anywhere
in Bundesliga
else. Or anywhere else,
literally anywhere outside of.
They're just like, nah, fam, it's too much seasoning in the food, fam.
I heard they're
using salt, fam. Nah,
I gotta learn what language? You know,
hola, 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 everybody.
It is. I mean, I give credit to English players I give them a nice little applause. I'm like, when Conor Gallagher went to Atletico Madrid, I'm like,
Conor Gallagher, different gravy though.
It is, but still,
Kieran Trippier, different gravy, bro. Those dudes went out there and like tried to assimilate a little bit.
Yes, but again,
they were like naps. All right, I'll try it. You know,
but I'm like, okay, good for them that they're taking that opportunity, but. But Dani Olmo is in a very odd situation. When I've never really seen anything like this, where he might not be able to play the next half of the season.
As of right now, he cannot.
He cannot play maybe ever.
Right.
For Barcelona, so they have to sort out a financial issue. So the
club needs to register him in order to play for the team. So you have to register him as a player that we own his contract. Right.
Yes.
He is a player for Barcelona. La Liga is being very strict by saying you have to be a certain number over your losses. So you have to, or
financial losses.
Financial losses. So your business has to be, the business side of your club has to be intact in a certain way to a certain level, or else we're not allowing you to go out and buy new players.
Yes. And Barcelona has had these financial issues for the last couple
of
years.
Oh, wow, man. They've been playing this game of chicken with, the accountants. I don't know who this is.
The triggers. Yeah. And they...
Levers. You
know, levers.
They've been pulling levers. They've mortgaged out their digital future, right? They've sold, like, the Barca Studios. And they're trying to do it again with the suites.
Yeah.
They're trying to get... They're trying to sell the suites to their new stadium. Apparently, they're going to have, like, really lavish...
It's going to be the Spotify Camp Nou.
Yeah. They're trying to sell the suites and the VIP boxes, and they think... I think it's $50 million that they're off, that they'll get that. if they can. That's what at least was Jean Laporta saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just 50 million, bro. We got that. We got that in the boxes,
in the
bro.
Couch cushions. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, yeah.
If you just wait like 2 to 3 decades, I could get you that money.
Yeah, and the deadline was yesterday. Yeah. So they had
But they're saying they have 2 more days, and La Liga's like, who told you that?
Because of right now, the La Liga has removed Dani Olmo and Pau Victor, the other player.
Yeah, nobody's talking about him. But as a homie, not one person worried about you. Everyone's talking Dani Olmo. You're like, dude, move out of the way, bro. We're trying to. So as of right now, Dani Olmo is essentially a free agent.
Yeah, yeah.
Other clubs can talk to him. It's in his contract that if they couldn't register him in January, that he is essentially a free agent. He can move on a free and still be owed money from Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah.
This is worst case scenario if you're Barcelona.
Dani Olmo has explicitly said that he obviously wants to stay at Barcelona, but this is the last essentially 3 years, basically since COVID kind of disrupted everything. It's been just a series of embarrassing moments, financial moments. This feels like if you ever watch those financial shows. I forgot the name of the show. It's a guy named Caleb, where people go on his show and they
I
show.
I know
him,
what you're talking about. He's like the bigger dude, and
yeah,
he's like
glasses.
You. And spend how much money on ice cream? You know what I mean, like that guy.
And he goes through your financial statements and looks through every single thing, and he just yells at you to be like, "Yo, you can't buy this anymore." And that's what I feel like with Barcelona. They have to show the world.
Joao Laporta should go on the show, and he's like, "Leverage, you can't do this."
I mean, at what point does it get just embarrassing? Where I'm not making the accusation of any sort of corruption, but it's like this mismanagement.
Nobody was talking about that until you just said that. So I'm trying to think maybe you are.
But if there's such this much mismanagement with money, then you know who is responsible for these moments? Like it obviously trickles down, because you get into these moments where players, he's already been playing, and now all of a sudden, like, I mean,
they knew that when they signed him. That's why it's in his contract that if this happens, he can essentially pull the ripcord. And it begs the question, it's like, you can't even really move on from Joao Laporta, because you have to ride along with this plan now, because if he leaves, whatever the potential, you know, safety net is kind of goes with him.
Yeah.
Like, who else is going to make, you know, sense of what's happening here and be like, what levers was he talking about? Like, I don't even know. You almost have to, like, you're kind of leaving the future of your club, the viability of Barcelona as a club in La Liga sits right now at the lap of Joao Laporta. And this is absolutely going the wrong way. Look, worst case scenario is you can't register 2 players, but at least your club stays afloat. But one of these players is really important, and the other guy, we just heard his name for the first time. This is horrible if you are one of the Barcelona shareholders.
Yeah, I am. I wonder, you know, especially, you know, given that they're, rebuilding the stadium and stuff like that. Like, these are such huge financial, investments or changes. Like, you have to, juggling.
Arsenal took 14 years to pay off that stadium.
Right, right. And this is, and it's a.
And they were financially viable.
And this is why, when people speak negatively about Arsene Wenger, it's like, bro, this could have been Arsenal right now.
Dude, Arsenal could not exist right now.
100%.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Arsene Wenger being like, all right, we need to tighten up these purse strings for the next decade.
Yeah, I saw some graphic of like net spend or whatever, and it showed like, you know, all the top clubs and whatever, and everybody spent like, you know, 300 million, 400 million, mm-hmm. whatever. And then it got to Arsenal and it said $25 million profit.
Yeah, oh, I remember those days. Right?
Which is, again, it's unreal.
Every good player was leaving. I remember when Robin Van Persie was sold for $28 million to Manchester United. Everyone's furious and they're like, well, we need the money.
Yeah, yeah.
We need the money in order to make this happen. And it's crazy because you're like, all right, you're going to pay that. Also, what Arsene Wenger doesn't talk about in his book is this crazy theory he had that the economies were all going to collapse.
Mm.
and that they would be the only ones who had profit. They were able to withstand. So then they'd be able to go out and buy everyone.
What? Ours is going to be their own country?
The GDP of the gooners. I guess now that means something else.
Hey, Theo Walcott, you're the ambassador.
You're the czar getting pussy. I don't even know why I said that. To be honest, it doesn't make any sense. I just wanted to say something stupid. Giroux!
We have a role for you.
You're the governor of pretty. You're doing it right now. What are you talking about?
But yeah, that's...
made no sense. I'm glad we went down that rabbit hole.
Every single kind of, you know... So basically, when you're financing a stadium, and I think maybe American sports fans... maybe don't comprehend this as much.
Yeah, because the government, the local government will just give you tax money to do it. It's a little different.
But it's like, you know, the way it usually works across the rest of the world is like you are running a, you know, this business and yeah, you are building a stadium, but that money that you're using to build that stadium, that's like the league still incorporate
that profit and loss.
Exactly. So it's like that will affect the players you can buy. It still affects the actual team.
Can everyone hear the Everton PTSD from the drop points last season?
All I'm saying is Barcelona should, at the very least, be docked 10 points, all right?
Yeah. And Sean Dyche. You take Sean Dyche.
You got to give us Hansi Flick.
These are the rules, though.
And Lamine Yamal, and we call it a deal.
Yeah. Imagine Danny Olmo went to Everton. Would that not change your f***ing year in a single moment?
I'll just be like, you know what? La Liga, they have the rules right.
Yeah. I'm glad you're so staunch, bro.
They're doing things correctly. So, yeah, man,
the situation now becomes Danny Olmo may very well be forced to have to go to another club.
Yeah.
But now almost like it's an open season on this guy because he's free outside of maybe paying his wages. It's a free transfer in January. And who needs an attacking midfielder? Who needs a 10?
Well, I think one of the stipulations is as well, if Barcelona can't sign him, they can't register, contract. They have to pay out his contract, is hilarious.
That is one of the stipulations. Whoever his agent is like, cigar in his mouth. Yeah, I knew this day would come. he's doing the fan out picture in front of a yacht. Why? It's not even my yacht, bro. I'm interested as to who. The big rumors are the two Manchester teams, right? Manchester United, Manchester City.
Yeah.
Manchester United don't make no sense. They don't play with a 10. They play a 3-4-3. And they've been asking Ruben Amorim, like, why don't you switch your tactics? Because you're not winning. And he's like, the tactics don't matter whether you play three or four at the back. Like, the players have to do what's asked of them, and they're not doing that. Right. Clearly, he's not switching from a 3-4-3, so why would a 10 go there if they don't play with a 10? So I'm assuming Manchester City, but do Manchester City want to bench, I guess, Foden?
You know what's funny is that should be an easy answer because given how they've been playing, but it just reminded me that I had seen on like Overlap or one of those shows where there's a Everton guy that does like you know, like man on the street stuff with I think he works for Everton as well, but he said that Dwight McNeil should get an England call up. He's had a pretty good two seasons with Everton and been our best player by far, maybe next to Pickford, but that was a question. Who do you bench on the England team? Foden or Grealish? And it's like, I would just say yes, right? I mean, do I think Dwight McNeil is better than Foden or Grealish? No, I do not.
No.
But given the recent performances and in like some better form, I would be fine with Dwight McNeil there. So I'm saying if Danny Olmo does go...
I think that's just you and other people who have more than one Everton shirt.
I'm just saying it's not crazy. I'm just saying it's not crazy.
I'm saying it's crazy. I'm saying you bugging.
So, but I'm saying Foden, if you had Olmo or Foden, you wouldn't bench?
I think you risk... So Olmo's not going to be there for the long term. You expect that Foden potentially will certainly see his contract.
Sure, sure.
And you risk really shooting his confidence down by bringing in a guy like Danny Olmo. Also, I don't think your attacking midfielder is the reason why you're not winning. I think it's your defensive midfielder and your defensive ability to stop teams. And Danny Olmo doesn't solve that. So I don't think any Manchester... And by the way, Danny Olmo's wife is like, thank God, no Manchester. Thank you, Alexis. I don't want to live there from Barcelona. I honestly think a team like maybe even Arsenal would probably benefit more. And I'm not saying to go to Arsenal because I don't think they need a 10 either.
Yeah.
But if Odegaard wants to continue playing on the right and you're not playing with a double pivot with Declan Rice and Partey, and I know Declan Rice runs forward, I think there's a world where you can play with a Danny Olmo next to Odegaard. Maybe it's a little bit much, but I could see that, especially if Martinelli, although he has played well in the last two matches, continues to sort of not really perform at the level he's supposed to.
Sure.
I could see someone cutting in. But all I'm simply saying is no one really plays with a 10 outside of Italy. So I can see Danny Olmo going to like a Juventus.
Yeah, this would be interesting. So right now, Barcelona keep saying they're optimistic that they can sort this out.
But that's like the dude during the Iraqi war who's like, bro, everything's fine. And there's like bombs going off behind him. Dude, what are you talking about, bro? We're winning, bro. We might have already won, dog.
I love this dude.
That wasn't Iraq war, was it? The Iraq invasion. Never mind. Remember the guy who was like the head of their army was on the news? Yeah, you don't remember this?
I don't remember this guy.
He was giving news conferences. He's like, what are you talking about, bro? We stopped the American army miles ago, and there's buildings exploding in the background.
I missed this. I didn't see this.
Oh, dude, he was, yeah, I think they even had an SNL character.
Okay, okay. Yeah. All right.
What were you doing?
I got to do my
own. You were on your MS-DOS. Breaking into servers.
My Commodore 64.
Damn. Slapping the thing.
All right. So, yeah, we'll see what ends up happening with Danny Olmo. Because even as we finish this conversation, they could have already sorted it out by now. But we as of right now, he is not a Barcelona player. So we shall see.
But if you go to Barcelona's website, it's now a GoFundMe. So you can donate.
So you can help. You can help get Danny Olmo. It's a sad, it's a crying Danny Olmo.
Spend all your time waiting. Sarah McLachlan playing in the background. Look how sad he is. He's not playing on the team.
His face is all sudsy. It's like, oh my God.
He's wearing overalls.
Okay, Danny. All right. So we have...
the other guy. Sorry for the other guy.
The other guy.
We don't care about you, bro.
But we got to talk some MLS. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll get to a lot of MLS news right after this. All right, let's talk some Major League Soccer because it's January, the transfer window.
Where's Messi going? That's what we all need to know.
Will he stay? I mean, St. Louis is great this time of year.
Is he? How much is St. Louis paying you to say that?
No, so there have been a couple transfers and a couple of big moves. I mean, it's going to be a busy month, but there's already been... a lot of stuff for the Bogarts of the world to start talking about. One of them that we wanted to get started with was Philadelphia Union. They have a new head coach, Bradley Carnell.
A little bit of a surprise.
The former St. Louis City head coach. And you are not as a, I don't know. I'm not going to say you're not a big fan of the move, but.
No, I don't think it's as immediate a fit as I think you see it and Carter. See it, right? Not to throw you guys
out. Right, right. Yeah. I think I kind of see it as a decent fit with what already was going on, especially with the Philadelphia Union kind of resembling more of a Bundesliga style of play and style of club that that Bradley Carnell is coming from, especially with St. Louis City, which is St. Louis is exactly that.
Yeah.
Lutz Pfannenstiel is the sporting director there.
Sure. Here's the way I look at it. You have a guy who was at Red Bull for a long time, and they don't win, right? And then he went to St. Louis.
That's it, right?
and they don't win, and he didn't win while he was there. I know he did well his first season, but it looked a complete mess.
The second
season. Yeah. And then you get rid of a guy like Jim Curtin, who's done so much with so little and got you to a final twice. And this is what you replace him with?
Sure.
If I'm a fan of Philadelphia Union, I'm not looking at this and saying, oh, okay, it was worth getting rid of a guy who so deeply cared about the local community and the club itself and poured his heart and soul into it and did so much without ever being given the right amount of pieces. And now we get rid of him to bring in a guy who failed. Now, this could turn out to be a great move. I've interviewed Bradley Carnot. He seems like a lovely guy, but I can't think of this being the step up that Philadelphia Union fans wanted.
I guess, yeah, I'm looking at it without, you know, if Jim Curtin was never a part of the organization.
Do you own Philadelphia Union? Because I think that's the way they're looking at it.
No, I'm just saying it's like, it feels like a decent fit to me. But yes, comparatively, when you look at everything Jim Curtin did, and if you're looking at it, it's like, was this the right move to get rid of essentially one of the longest tenured managers that have pretty much ever existed.
Successful.
And
perennially successful.
Yeah. Yeah. So
even though doesn't have a massive trophy closet to claim,
mm-hmm.
perennially was always in the conversation. I'm not sure this is the right move. Who's the owner? Sugarman? Sugarman?
the superheroes. Yeah. Sugarman. Yeah. Yeah.
It's Sugarman, right?
Beating diabetes.
Yeah. 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 Giving diabetes.
Giving diabetes.
Diabetes. If they need a little less Sugarman and they need a little more sugar daddy. You feel me? You need to spend some
money. Got it. Okay. All right, so that's one move there. The other head coach hasn't been officially announced yet, but the hiring of Pascal Janssen to NYCFC. This is a coach who we do not know much about, but and I want to give credit to Hudson River Blue who reported it first. Because a lot of people here we go, and I'm just saying I love their tweet. It said, first reported by us at 8 a.m. this morning, fleshed out at 11:23 a.m. Fabrizio Romano'd at 1:30 p.m. Because Fabrizio, a lot of times people think Fabrizio is the first person to report certain things.
He's just the aggregator.
Exactly. Yeah. So
there's a lot of value in that. I'm not disrespecting.
Exactly. But yeah. So I think we'll hear more in the coming days about his hiring. But it's one where I'm like, I hope it works. I'm hopeful.
I mean, the one thing I'm a little bit worried about is, right, like you would assume New York City FC teams kind of have to play like the quote unquote city way.
Yeah.
And on transfer market, because I don't know a lot about this guy,
mm-hmm.
on transfer market, it says he plays a 4-3-3 defensive, which says to me, snooze fast. You know what I mean?
I mean, there hasn't been even with Nick Cushing, Ronnie Dyla, like Patrick Vieira, Dominic Tarrant. It's all been like, I mean, slightly like different variations.
Yeah, but it's more like possession based.
Yeah, they don't bring in a coach that they think is going to completely turn everything upside down. That's I don't believe that. My main focus and concern, especially, and the things that I was disappointed with Nick Cushing, is wasn't really ever the style of play. I thought the NYCFC played really, really well in the games that they played well, right?
Right. I enjoyed the style, at least what the thought process was.
My issues were like the rotation of players, the relationship with players, right? Well, I don't understand what happened with Thiago, the winger Thiago.
Or Talis Magno.
I don't really, I'm like, what exactly happened? And was it an issue with the coach? Or was something with the player? Like, sitting these players for so long and not giving them any minutes and not really explaining ever what was going on, I'm like, I can't blame anyone but the coach because I don't understand what else could happen. So that's my hope, is like having better relationships with players where they're happy to be playing. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. All right. Next up. James Sands, speaking of NYCFC. James Sands.
I hope he has a good year next year, man, because new coach coming in.
Is going to be loaned.
Oh, no. I was just saying. No, he's going to St. Pauli.
He's going to FC St. Pauli. So I'm happy for old Jimmy Sands, Jimbo, the homie.
So it's a six-month loan with the potential for another year.
Yeah. So I would imagine the terms of the loan are that they stay up, right? So FC St. Pauli are currently where on the table? I think they're in like 14th or something like that.
Right. They're in a relegation battle.
Battle. So, I'm wondering if this is a better situation than 14th, than because he was at Rangers, couldn't really get playing time. But he played in Champions League.
He played some in Rangers. He actually scored for Rangers before he ever scored for New York City FC, which he did against Inter Miami.
Yeah,
to equalize.
So he didn't get the minutes he really wanted, and the opportunities that he did get. You know, sometimes I think he made like one or two mistakes in a Champions League game or something like that, and it's just like he just couldn't win favor again with the coach. So it wasn't a good move.
But it's also, there was a maturing process, I think, last season. And he became much more of a man versus this young child.
Sure. And also, when he came back to NYCFC, you physically saw, like, oh, this...
Much more imposing.
Much more imposing. Physically bigger.
Yeah.
Much more decisive. Good passing with both feet. He was, like, a much better player, without a doubt.
Much more leadership.
But I think he's built for Bundesliga. That's kind of the thing I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I can see him and Leonard Maloney kind of being of the same ilk. You know what I mean? And Leonard Maloney's doing pretty well with Heidenheim.
Yeah,
I could see that.
So I really, really do.
He's also only 24. We've known him for so long that it feels like he's like 35.
We watched this kid grow up. It's pretty wild. The other... tremendous move,
Jesus Ferreira
to the Sounders, which also feels like
two years ago they were talking about Europe for this guy. No?
It's just like, why is it's kind of like,
how about you just go to European weather? How about that?
Tom Boger have Sounders reach agreement to acquire Jesus Ferreira from FC Dallas in a blockbuster trade. Dallas received $2 million in GAM in international roster spot, and winger Leo Chu, the Brazilian, who's also very good.
This is huge for FC Dallas. $2 million,
mm-hmm.
and you get your DP slot back because he is a DP. That's kind of huge.
Sure, but it's an odd move for Dallas to let him go.
You don't think it was time last season? I don't know why he stayed last season. He should have jumped at the opportunity of going to Europe. I don't know if maybe an official offer never actually came.
Yeah.
But there were so many rumors back and forth that seemed like, no, you got it. You got to go. And at this point, getting a move to Seattle, I'm happy for the guy. It's a new start. It's a new opportunity. Seattle desperately needs a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to work well, especially with Rui Diaz leaving and, you know, Jordan Moore is seemingly not getting younger. It feels like the right move for Seattle. But at the same time, I'm like, don't you feel like there was an opportunity missed here? Like, we were talking about this guy potentially as a replacement for Balogun, you know, at one point,
right.
You know, or in place of Balogun, I should say. And now that ship has sailed.
Yeah, it's so disappointing. I mean, I think that's kind of the sad part here, I guess, for Jesus Ferreira, of like, even if he does really well, so one of the stipulations of him joining the Sounders was to get to extend his contract.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the hope now is like he has another really good season, like he had, like, what was it, like three years ago. And then he, you know, you gets a move somewhere else. Cause you don't.
Honestly, the move is probably going to be Liga MX. At this point, I can't. I honestly can't see a European club coming in for him. This feels like a Monterrey move.
It's so I just like feel bad.
Yeah,
there's no other word for it. But you know, they're gonna do the reveal. They're gonna do the you know, holding the jersey up. It's like Jesus Ferreira excited to be joining the Sounders to leaving, you know, the Dallas. Weather, I mean, which is not necessarily great in the summers either.
No, it's brutal.
It just seems just like a underwhelming move.
Yeah,
I think for his career.
Yeah, it feels like a move.
With all due respect to the Sounders, I just like.
Yeah, no disrespect to the Sounders. Yeah. We're just talking about someone who had visions of grandeur of going to Europe.
Exactly.
And now you're getting a move within the league.
Yeah,
certainly. I mean, I think it's a better situation to be in Seattle. Of course. Feels like they care a little bit more about winning as an organization than FC Dallas. FC Dallas feels to me like a place where they want to develop players and sell them out.
Sure.
Obviously, Weston McKennie and Chris Richards, there's a lot of examples. This feels like a lateral move for him career-wise.
A
better situation within the same league.
Then our last one we're going to talk about, Fafa Pico going to Inter Miami. This is
the kid going home.
The kid going home is about to be a problem.
Yo, this is, if you thought he was unbearable before, My our guy going to Miami, bro. That home cooking.
Yeah, we love Fafa.
And, bro, Fafa is family.
Yeah, man. And so he is a player. Why he's so he's 33. He had a spectacular season for
Vancouver.
For Vancouver.
I thought he was great at Nashville. I'm surprised he wasn't used a little bit better. I thought down there. I thought like he could be that release valve for Hany Mukhtar, get that pressure off.
Sure.
Of him.
I mean,
and then he goes to Vancouver and proves he was that guy.
I'm just saying. And then, you know, Hany Mukhtar has, you know, one of his worst seasons when Fafa leaves.
That's what I'm saying.
So I saw somebody comment this, but they said like Fafa Pico is the player no club wants, but they all need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, Chiesa, a journeyman sort of MLS guy, right? He's played at so many clubs now. He's almost getting the Kai Kamara sort of career.
Kai Kamara's like 48, though. It's a little different, yeah.
But Fafa, when I heard this news, I was just so happy for him personally. I was just like, yo, this is going to be crazy. Yo, Fafa just played in the League's Cup final against Messi.
And now he's going to be playing with him week in and week out.
Exactly. And
he's going to be drinking mate. He's going to be hanging with the boys, doing an asado.
Yeah, dude. And then it's also, he could also introduce, you know, he was on the show. There was a clip that we had made of Fafa talking about the food he had right before a game against Miami, in the League's Cup final. And he was saying that he had oxtail with arroz y habichuela.
Yeah.
And, yo.
Rabo, bro. The kid brought rabo.
Imagine Fafa and Lionel Messi eating oxtail together, bro.
Could you imagine him explaining to Messi what mofongo is? He's like, no, trust me. I know what it looks like.
Okay.
You got to get shrimp on.
This is, I'm just excited, not only just for what we're going to see on the pitch, but I'm hoping the Inter Miami, you know, content team capture something, bro. Because
the Latino-ness is going to be out of this world.
The personality that Fafa brings, I think, not only on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. Just Messi hanging out with his best Haitian friend in Fafa Pico.
And remember, he also speaks Spanish. Like
he speaks Spanish. He speaks Italian. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure his cat or his dogs are called Donna, Dolce and Gabbana.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. This is the kind of person we're talking about.
Okay.
With Messi, whose dog is probably called 442. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like the personality's not there. Like,
why is Messi's dog's name? Because he has a very adorable dog. He has a very big
dog.
Does
he?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it like one of those guard dogs that like still plays with the kids where you're just like, look out, kids?
Yeah. Well, no, it's a
a bull mastiff.
Yeah, it's a giant.
Look at this thing. This is what it looks like when my wife and I are laying by the pool. She just got her feet all over me, and I'm a big, drooling, sweaty, wrinkly mess. This is literally...
What's his dog's name? Did you get it?
Hulk.
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 Yeah.
Like the Brazilian player?
Yeah, yeah, dude.
Is there a toy helicopter?
Yeah. Okay, this is family time. All right. So
yeah, that dog will eat your face if you come anywhere near Lionel Messi.
All right, so we're gonna hear about a lot more transfers. It will, you know, whether in MLS or
it's a silly season now,
this is when it gets a little crazy. So yeah, it's only, you know, when does the MLS season start? February, like
we got a month and a
second
half.
Week of February, something like that, third week. So it you know, the season's back right before you know it. So all right, we got a couple more things. Rapido reactions. Come right up after this.
We're back, baby, and let's do rapido reactions.
Vamos.
Carter, what you got for me?
All right, this is the transfer edition, by the way.
If you don't
know,
by the way, we get 90 seconds to react to whatever he says, and we're going to do transfers.
Yep, and so your first club is, what's one player Manchester United could grab in January?
Okay, I think they need more than one player, so I got two. Are you ready to go?
Okay, I only got one. Did I do my homework correctly?
What'd you do? What you got?
Anthony Robinson.
Do that to our guy, bro.
Not to say that I would necessarily love him to be there in that absolute madness that's happening, but they need a left back. They need a full back that is better than what the options that they have right now.
And which they don't. They're putting a right back in there.
Exactly. And you know, who's it? Deloe is there. And some people really like him. Some people don't. To me, he does not offer.
We only got 90 seconds here, and I got to give mine.
The consistency necessary. So Anthony Robinson is my choice. How about you?
I'm going to say Jokeris because he used to play for Ruben Amorim. You need a goal scorer. That'll solve a lot of their problems. And if you don't want a goal scorer, you want a left back, Kieran Tierney. He's right there. Arsenal don't want him.
Okay.
Go pay Arsenal some money and go get you a Kieran Tierney.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where even when he plays, I'm like, oh, he's still there?
Yeah, he's good. Go get you. Go pay Arsenal a lot of money. I know you got it. Sir Jim Ratcliffe.
Okay. Anthony Robinson, I think it would be a better fit than a Tierney.
Sure, but that would hurt. Me as a fan of the U.S. men's national team.
And we don't want that, of course.
No. All right. I hope he can swim. The place is flooding.
What do we got next? What team?
Manchester City.
Oh, I got a good one for this one.
Okay. I mean, we mentioned it earlier on the show, but Dani Olmo, I think, is a perfectly fine move. If it all falls apart with Barcelona and he ends up at Man City. Not a bad situation to be in.
Playing in Europa next year. That'll be fun, Danny. How you like that? Here's what I think.
Conference League.
Here's what I think. It's all possible. Here's what I truly believe. I don't think they need an attacking midfielder. I think they need a defensive midfielder. And how about you get one who's been good in the Premier League before and currently not playing at the club he went to? Douglas Luiz, bro.
He's not playing at Juve?
Not really, bro. Oh, okay. Him and Thiago Motta not really seeing eye to eye. I think this is a great opportunity for him. He may be willing to take a loan just to get himself minutes, which could buy you time until Rodri gets back. He might be that perfect stopgap. You're welcome, City.
But it's a double transfer because his lady, you got Alicia Lehman.
Lehman, that's what it is.
She'll be joining the Man City women team as well.
Views is going up. I'll tell you that.
The likes and subscribes if you need
the comments are going to be crazy, but the likes and engagement.
Okay. So that's just something to consider as well.
City is a strong team as well on the women's side.
That's right. Yeah. What place are they in WSL right now?
Not really sure, but
are they in second? They're in the first or second, usually most of the time. All right. Who we got next?
All right. Next year, we've got Paris Saint-Germain.
You could go big name here. Are you going to go Mo Salah?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go Nico Williams.
Ooh.
And I think because of everybody's saying he should end up in Barcelona and he wants to go to Barcelona. I think that's very clear. Yeah. But we see the issues with Dani Olmo.
They can't register their own players.
So doesn't look super likely, but I think this would be a really, really fun move. And not only a fun move, but just also something that highlights, like, obviously playing in a much, much bigger club.
Can he go play on the right?
Dembele can play either.
Well, nobody wants Dembele on the team. You want Barcola to play, and you need... I think they actually need a striker more than they need a winger.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Omar Mamouche, bro, from Frankfurt.
Mamouche is pretty good.
Young Egyptian dude, knows the vibes, Parisian vibes, bro. I don't know why that makes sense. But it just there's something about the way he plays that feels like he would fit right in at PSG.
All right.
Not a big name.
Not a big name.
I thought you were going to go Salah, so I was like, let me go a different Egyptian.
No, but I think they, especially with how they're playing, they need help with Champions League.
Omar Mamouche is great.
Okay, all right. I don't hate it. All right, who we got next?
All right, next year
we didn't ring the bell.
I didn't ring the bell. We're probably pretty close.
You have a few seconds, but it's okay. Next, we got AC Milan.
Okay, this one's a little out there, but... I've been seeing it rumored.
Okay.
Gio Reyna. It's been rumored that there's, that it's a potential, a destination.
Damn. American C Milan, bro.
Okay. That is what it means.
That's what it is now, bro.
But Gio Reyna, I think, if it's we've seen him getting a few more opportunities now.
Good.
With Dortmund. And obviously, Bundesliga takes a much longer break than a lot of other leagues. So we won't see him for a little bit. But this might, again, with Pulisic there, with Yunus Musa. It's not, obviously, and there's a lot of competition, especially in that midfield. It's not an easy one to break into. But if he Could
Reinders might be a difficult person to displace.
But Reinders might also might be somebody that's like, hey, why would I really need to be here much longer? You know what I mean? Like,
true,
he's that good of a player. So that is a place I think if he got the chance, I think he could do well in Italy.
That is interesting. Mine is not as interesting. I think Dolo.
Okay.
Dude, Dolo is not playing on the right. He's playing on the left. He clearly probably wants out of Manchester United with the situation that's going on there. If you're not considered, you know, if you're not playing in your position, you're considered, you know, supplement to what's already there. Maybe it's a good time to move. There's been rumors of him going to Real Madrid, so I could see AC Milan getting a good deal for bringing in Dolo, and I think it would be a massive upgrade over Emerson Royal.
Okay.
Royale. I don't know how you pronounce it.
All right, your last...
Royale with cheese, please.
Your last one here is Tottenham.
All right. I'm waiting to hear mine.
Okay. Another player that is being rumored to be leaving his club very often, I've been seeing online, is Leroy Sané. And I think this might be a decent destination for a team that just needs who they have, like Timo Werner kind of trying to do, getting what he got subbed off at halftime or whatever. He got like yelled at by Postecoglou.
And Postecoglou mentioned it after the game.
Exactly.
Was it good enough?
Yeah. So Leroy Sané, I think this could be he could help the team a lot. Whether it's people think it's a good fit or not, I don't know. But if there's an opportunity to get him for Tottenham, I think they should go for it.
Well, we have a Tottenham fan. Real quick, what's the biggest position you need replaced?
Center back, goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper, Matt Turner.
Mm.
He needs minutes.
He needs minutes.
He's, as of right now, former, the starter on his international team.
Former Arsenal player?
Former Arsenal player. Big splash goes to Tottenham.
He would never, though, right?
Who knows?
You think it...
After how it ended with Arsenal?
But you're Matt Turner. You need minutes. You know you're
you
an Arsenal...
You go anywhere. You go to the North Korean League if you get minutes, bro.
You think...
You get a Gazprom tattoo and you go play for Zenit St. Petersburg.
Really, so you, even as an Arsenal fan, you wouldn't hold it against him.
He's no longer on a player. Of course I'm going to hold it against him. I don't want him to go. But the kid needs minutes. They need a goalkeeper.
Gotcha.
I think he's good enough to play that position there.
You think the fans welcome him?
Probably not.
All right.
Real quick. Matt Turner's your starting goalkeeper. How are you feeling about that?
Better than Fraser Forster.
Hey, here we go. There I'll it take is. That, bro. I'll
all right. It's a much easier name to say.
Yeah.
So that you got to give him credit for that as well. All right. Another happy the reactions in the books. So shout out to Carter for tossing those our way. All right. Thank you, everybody, again, for tuning in to another episode.
You powered through an entire episode.
Actually, you know what? This is the one thing I wanted to do before we wrapped up. This will be a nice little treat. We were talking about this beforehand. I had seen this dude on TikTok a couple weeks ago. The caption
it's
is
cool. Let's bring this up before they ban the app. I like this.
Barman knows every Premier League result since 1993,
which is only a year after the league started.
Yeah, and Alexis hasn't seen this video, so we'll just kind of get his live reaction to it.
Jordy, 2001, 2002.
Uh-huh.
How are you feeling about that?
Oh, no comment. I'll let you know in about 20 seconds time.
Newcastle, Charlton, Newcastle at home.
Yeah, what was it, about April 2002 or something like that, wasn't it?
I haven't got the
date. Well, the bottom line is it was Newcastle 3, Charlton 0, and that's all it is. Tristan Lamana, Lua Lua, Alan Shearer, Gary Speed, I think.
Jesus Christ, that is insane.
Good God.
So this dude,
I don't know how you make money off this.
Is it only a party trick, or do you how do you monetize this exactly?
Also, why does this bar look like a lunchroom?
It might be a hotel.
It feels like a hotel. It feels very, for some reason, like Norwegian. I'm getting Norwegian vibes.
Is that not like
the accents are that?
It's like a bar at a golf course, no?
Oh, golf course. Right? Maybe that makes a little sense. Yeah, the guy's wearing a finance vest. All right, this makes sense.
But this is a...
How do you know? Why? Why do you know? I don't want to know how. I want to know why do you know this information? You know, like, there's only so much room in the brain. You know what I mean? So, like, there's other things. Like, there's family members he has not called on their birthday because he knows this.
Right. Yeah, it is something that, like, us, you know, soccer sickos, would at least we'd be impressed. We'd test this guy. We would annoy this man.
Oh, we'd hang out with this guy. I want to go to this bar. Do we know what bar this is?
I don't know.
It says Premier League Newcastle golf, Football Golf, Aberdovey.
Aberdovey. Maybe that's the golf course. Aberdovey Golf Course. Is that, I guess, I'm assuming that's the place.
Okay, now we have to go to this
We got to go to, we got to just.
I'm being dead ass. we have to go.
We got
to
meet up with this guy. And, you know, ask him every question you know we're about to ask him.
If okay, we have to go. And for everyone he gets right, you and I have to do a shot.
Maybe we can do a, this will be a fun game. We could ask him every Everton and Arsenal result against each other for the entire Premier League.
But don't tell him that's what we're going to do.
No. We just surprise him.
We just show up with a camera. We got to go. I don't know what you're thinking. I'm joking. We got to go to Aberdovey.
Patreon.com/soccercooligans. Help us get to Aberdovey.
Yeah. In fact, we'll donate part of our money to Danny Olmo getting registered.
Go help him out. So this guy's great.
Aberdovey Golf Club in Aberdovey, United Kingdom.
Mm.
It is.
We're part of the region. Damn, it's by the water.
Wales, bro. I guess it's... I don't know where... It might be Wales. This might be Wales.
Okay.
It just says United Kingdom.
Love
Station
it.
Station Road. Okay, well, that doesn't help me. Well, I don't know.
All right, but...
It's got to be Wales because next to it is a place called Coors Diff. Right in English.
Love it. All right, so
bro, we're going to Wales.
We're going to Wales, bro. All right,
think we won't go to Wales?
We'll catch a Wrexham.
We'll
game.
Go to Wales,
we'll catch
bro.
A Wrexham game.
Actually,
while we're there.
You know what? It might not be that far from Wrexham.
All right,
look bro, at this. Look at this. Hold on a second. Let's do directions to Wrexham.
Book it. Let's see. All right, I'll put it up on the screen as well.
Oh, it's an hour and it's a 2-hour drive from Aberdovey to Wrexham. Done.
That's not bad at all.
Nah, dude, done. What's that by train? 2 hours. 2 hours and 47 minutes because you got to make a transfer.
All right.
Bro, done. You think we won't do this? We'll do this. Now, how do we convince the wives?
All right. Okay. All right. Maybe we got to bring them, bring Mateo as well.
Let's not do that.
Okay.
Let's not do that. No,
I don't want
Let's not do all that. Why would we do all that? I'm not changing diapers. And my wife's like, I don't want to go, so I don't have to change the Alexis's diaper.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. We always appreciate it. We hope that you have a great 2025 and a great new year. Make sure you subscribe, follow.
Do you know who's from Wales? Sam Ashton, the guy who filmed us in Liverpool.
Look, it's all coming together. Okay,
match day meals.
We're crashing at the Ashton family home.
Yeah, dog. Ding dong. Y'all know how to get to Aberdovey, bro.
All right, y'all, the absolute best. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We'll see you on Monday with a brand new episode. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.